Good morning. Great to see you guys. Great to be together this morning. It's definitely missed you all last week, missed gathering. I won't lie, I didn't mind sleeping in, but it was sad not to be together, and I'm glad that we're able to be here. Believe it or not, we had a lot of people in the first service too, even though there were flurries coming down again, and so I'm grateful that we can all join and be together. My name is Rob Sweet. If we have not met, I'd love to meet you sometime. Come down front and say hello. If you're new to Fellowship, glad that you've chosen today to be with us. Maybe it's your first time, or maybe you're relatively new. It's one of your first times. I want to encourage you, stop by our connection desk that's out there in the back when you go through those doors in that little arcade area by the pretty windows. And by the way, that pond is gorgeous back there with the snow on it and the fountain going. So maybe linger, take a couple pictures while you're there. But we do want to encourage you and say hi and give you some information about our church and a small gift that we have for you there at the connection desk this morning. You can also go to that website, connectedfellowship.com, to learn more and fill out a little form when you're ready to get connected with us. A few more announcements, but before I get into all that, just to kind of be together in the room, I'm really curious to see by a show of hands, how many of you had no power at any point in the last week? Okay, now keep your hands up if you went at least one night without power. Keep your hands up. Okay, that's a lot of people. Keep your hands up if you still do not have power in your home right now. Still do not have power. All right, there's Drew down there. There's somebody there. And we had like a dozen in the first service too. So you all, this is a big thing in our community. And I'm grateful for the way that Luke already led us. We're gonna talk about this a little bit more later in the service. But I do wanna say this, we wanna help. If you need a place to stay or you know of someone who needs a place to stay, let us know. We have some resources that will be able to help. If there's another tangible need that you know of, that you have, or someone you know has, let us know. We have some resources, and we'd love to be a part of this, however we can help people in our community. So one way you can do that, just go to our website, fill out the connect form or the contact form, I think it is. It's easy to find. You can come up to me and talk to me or find somebody here in staff, and we'll get you connected with the right people. So just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. Again, more to come on that a little later in the service. But let me say this. I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to do announcements, and then I'll get into where we're going today and next week and the sermon series and all those kinds of things. Okay, tonight, night of prayer. Now, you've already made it out of your house, at least to get here today. Come back. It's going to be a beautiful day, by the way, the rest of the day. It's going to be really pretty. Sun's come out. It's going to be nice. If you missed the last night of prayer, you don't want to miss this one. It's not weird. You're not going to be put on the spot and said, you know, share a deep, dark prayer request with somebody in a small group or anything like that. But we're going to gather together. We're going to pray together. We're going to have some quiet prayer. We'll have some prayer. If you want to come front and share a prayer request, you are certainly welcome to. If you want to share a prayer request with an elder and be prayed for, it's all going to be right here this evening. I hope you'll be able to be here with us. It's a really special night last time, and I know you don't want to miss that. I also want to let you know, February 26th, we're excited to have Kurt Thompson come. Kurt is a Christian writer and author and hosts a podcast. And I don't know what all his doctorate degrees are in, but he's an expert in the way the brain works and an expert in counseling. And he's a deep believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus, who is doing a fantastic job of bringing together Christian theology and psychotherapy. And there's not a lot of people that are really intersecting those faithfully. And Kurt is one of those voices. And so we're so excited to have him. His topic's gonna be anxiety. You all, we're living in a culture of anxiety like never before. And it's not just some people who have anxiety and anxiousness. It's everybody, all around us and all in us. And so Kurt's gonna talk about how do we follow Jesus and how do we help other people in an age of anxiety? Just a really practical topic, February 26th, right here in this room, excited about that. And then finally, just a reminder about our giving. We give because God is so gracious and so generous, and we wanna be like him. And so we wanna let these gifts flow through us. So I'd encourage you to be a part of that. You can see how you can do that there on the screen. There's several different ways. All right, now let me get to what I was gonna get to. Next week, we get back to Romans. We're gonna dive back into Romans chapter 9. If you wanna start reading ahead of that this week, you can. What you're gonna find, Romans 9, 10, and 11, which is our next portion that we'll take between now and the summertime, is one of the deepest, most complex, hardest passages in the book of Romans. We're gonna dive deep. but it's also practical. It's also going to be life-giving. And so buckle your seatbelts. I'm excited for that. That'll start next week. This morning, we're going to finish up our 28-day series. And if you have been walking through this book with us for the last 28 days or even part of the last 28 days, you're familiar with this come, listen, respond rhythm of just a way to come before God, listen to his voice through his word, and then respond to him and what you hear him say. And that's what we've been doing as we've been talking about discipleship together in the last 28 days. I do wanna make you aware that we just launched a website that has resources available, including some resources connected to our come, listen, respond method. And so this just came out, I think, 2 days ago. If you go to fellowshipbiblechurch.org/resources, you're going to find this page. There's a number of resources on there. You can click on them. You can explore them, learn more about them. You can, if they're available digitally, they're free. Most of them are available digitally. You can also order hard copies, and it's basically just a price that covers our production cost. It's not an effort to make any money at all. I want to highlight just a couple of these. The Come, Listen, Respond Journal, which is this green one here, is a big book of blank CLR, come, listen, respond, where you fill in what scripture verse or passage you're going to read, and you can just walk through it that way. This is a great resource. So if you want to continue in the CLR rhythm past the 28 days, I'd encourage you to check this one out. The other one I want to highlight right now is Come and See. And we introduced this 4 or 5 years ago. It walks through the Gospel of John using the CLR method. And we're going to hear a story about that a little later in our service today. So I just want to highlight that. This is brand new. Excited to let you know about this. fellowshipbiblechurch.org/resources. Okay, let me dive in this morning. Our definition of discipleship here at Fellowship's on the screen. It's the wholehearted journey of being with Jesus so that we become like him in character and live his way of life. And we've talked about it. There's three parts to this: being with Jesus, becoming like him in character, and living his way of life. 2 weeks ago, we talked about being with Jesus. Last week online, Eric Hoffman, one of our executive pastors, talked about becoming like Jesus and really did a wonderful job. My favorite thing about his message last week was how he called us to look below the waterline of our hearts with the idea that the character of Christ, the character traits of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, is not something that we can manufacture from our own efforts. It's an inside-out transformation, not an outside-in transformation. It's not about behavior modification. And so if you weren't able to watch that message last week, I really encourage you to do so. And then today we're going to talk about what does it mean to live Jesus's way of life? And I think this one is particularly nebulous. I think Christians often think, well, I can't possibly live the way of Jesus. Like, his way was perfect. Or they sometimes think, oh, I'm just going to water it down and sort of just make it as easy as I can. So I'm going to translate live like Jesus to be nice or be good, or be as good as I can be. And I want to talk about that this morning. What does it actually mean to live Jesus' way of life? And the way I want to start is just with this visual reminder that the three parts of this definition are not co-equal. They're not three different things you have to juggle as a disciple of Jesus. There's one primary thing to do. That's be with Jesus. That's the foundational call of a disciple. Jesus says, come follow me. And what that meant in that context and what it means in our context is be with me, spend time with me. And that's why we've been in this the last 28 days. Pray, read the Bible, talk to God about what you're reading, talk to God about what you need, your own heart, be with Jesus. And then as Eric talked about last week, from being with Jesus flows becoming like him. And in the same way, from being with Jesus, we not only start to become like him, we start to live like him. Our lives actually start to imitate his life. But if you put your effort on the living his way of life, it's just gonna be moralism. And you're gonna end up with exhaustion, or if you're somewhat of a disciplined person, you might end up as a self-righteous person saying, well, look at me, look what I can do. That's not the way of Jesus, you all. So put your effort on the be with Jesus and let these other things flow out of it. That's the point of this illustration. Now, I want to show you this illustration, which takes you again back to 2 weeks ago, John 15. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. Eric referenced John 15 as well. I was thinking a little bit more about this illustration this morning because it occurred to me that there's a connection here that I had never seen before. So let me explain it this way. I'm gonna draw on this If you can see these little white stars I'm drawing up here, this is the vine. I love how thick and sturdy and ancient this particular vine looks. These little white stars represent the life of the vine. Now, the vine is what's rooted in the ground, bless you. And so all the nutrients of the ground and all that waters the earth comes up through the vine. So think of these little white stars as sort of the invisible life that's inside the vine. The vine is holding the life. The life comes through the vine out into the branches. That's what this little stem is. It's one of the branches. And then through that, it produces the fruit. Now, the connection that I'd never really seen, or at least hadn't thought about, is if you think about what fruit is the life of the vine made visible. The life of the vine made tangible. And fruit is not just decoration. It's not meant to stay on the branches. The fruit is meant to go off of the vine. So fruit goes out to provide food, i.e. nourishment, energy for other beings, you know, other living things. And fruit goes down into the ground to be multiplied. So fruit nourishes by becoming food, and it multiplies by going down in the ground, as Jesus talked about in a different place. A seed has to go down and die, and then it will multiply. So think of fruit this way, and this was kind of a new thing for me to realize this. Fruit is the life of the vine made tangible, visible, touchable, shareable. And fruit is the way the vine multiplies itself. Now, what I want to do, the rest of this message, is I want to apply this to discipleship, because this is exactly what Jesus was talking about. John 15 is about following Jesus. It's about becoming a disciple of Jesus, ultimately bearing fruit. And we're going to talk about it in light of a different passage that will make it super clear, I think, what living Jesus's way of life means for us. So now, with that in mind, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter five. While you're turning there, I'm gonna put our first big idea on the screen this morning. We've got two, and they're both gonna be connected to this simple sentence. Living his way of life means, the first is this, making Jesus tangible in our world. Making Jesus tangible in our world. So think about the fruit. The fruit is the life of the vine made tangible. And now we're about to see in Matthew chapter five, two other metaphors that say the same thing. By the way, I love how Jesus used metaphors in his teaching, connecting with people that most of them were illiterate, and he was just explaining things in a way that were so gettable, still mysterious, but so gettable. Listen to this one, Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Two different metaphors. Light and salt are very different in some ways, but Jesus is using them kind of in one very similar way. What he's essentially saying is, my life, Jesus is saying, is intended to be something the world can actually experience. Jesus is saying my life, because ultimately he's the light. And John says that. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Here he's saying, you're the light of the world. Well, which one's true? Both. Because Jesus was going to embed his life into his followers. And by the way, his audience here, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, is not every person. He wasn't talking to every person. He was talking to his followers. Those that had said, Jesus, you're gonna be our Lord, we're gonna follow your way. They were gathered around him, and he's saying, you guys, you ones, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Now, let's talk about salt and light. In this cultural context, you all, salt meant so much more to them than it does to us. Before refrigeration, it was impossible to survive without salt. Like, imagine trying to survive a winter. There's no fruit on any of the branches. The animals are scarce. You had to rely on what had been preserved. How did you preserve things? you would salt them. That's how this worked. It of course, it also seasoned food. And the other thing it did, among others actually, but the most important one among these was it was used to protect and cleanse. In a world before modern medicine, you all, salt was huge for the food, for their bodies, for everything. A little bit of salt changes everything it touches. So salt wasn't decoration. It was highly valued. It was an essential part of life. And of course, light, think about light. It reveals what's real. It guides your steps so you don't stumble. It pushes back darkness so people can find their way. Jesus says the point of light is that it spreads. You don't want to put it under a basket. You don't want to hide it. Why? Because there's no use in it. So he's saying, imagine if salt could lose its taste, its saltiness, it's not any use anymore. Same thing with light. If you put something over it, it's not useful anymore. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, notice something he says about these things. He does not say, try really hard to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He says, you are the salt of the earth. And he says, you are the light of the world. Why is that? Because it's ultimately him, and he was going to embed himself, plant himself like a seed inside of them. And this gets us to the Spirit, which I won't talk about just yet. But I do want you to get this idea that Jesus is saying you are. He's not saying try hard to be. He's saying you are. Now, he's also saying even though you are the salt and even though you are the light, it is possible for you to lose your distinctiveness or cover your brightness. And boy, I look around our day and our churches and our church and our world, and I say, oh my goodness, I think we generally, in large part as Christians, have lost our distinctiveness. And we've kind of covered up the light, so to speak. It's hard to be a city on the hill when it just looks like everybody else in the landscape. It's hard to be salt when it's no longer salty. So Jesus is saying, listen, if you belong to me, this is what your life is for, to be distinctive and purposeful in the world, just like salt is and just like light is. Now, this past week, our community got a really interesting reminder that salt and light are not just poetic, they're essential. Isn't it interesting? I remember when all the ice came, we had this one entryway in our back right by our garage, and it's where we're constantly going in and out and in and out, and it just became treacherous. I mean, it's just like, I'm out there like having to scoop my feet like this. And at some point I'm like, I got to take care of this. Got the shovel. It was past shoveling time. You know, I was like, where's my pickaxe? I don't have a pickaxe. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I was like, salt. Now, the only salt I had was just like the little shaker from the table. So I did my best and nothing happened. And I think I didn't use enough. I also found out later if it's under 15 degrees, salt's not helpful. But the idea is I was reminded, you all, salt changes what it touches. And I started thinking about all the people that lost power. Oh my goodness, what's the big deal in our time of losing power? Well, it's heat and warmth, and it's light. That's what we miss the most. Don't say internet, okay? I know that's up there, but you think about it. Now, I started realizing for ancient people, light and warmth were not inseparable. They are for us because we have cool light, right, that doesn't produce a lot of heat, and then we have heat sources that don't produce any light. But for them, you didn't have light without heat, and you really didn't have heat without light. All they knew was that they had the sun and they had fire. Like those were the light sources. Both of them are warm. So you get near the light, it's warm. You see what Jesus is saying is the essentials. When life gets hard, you've got to have light. You've got to have warmth. You've got to have food. He's saying, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Isn't it interesting? 2,000 years, you all, after Jesus said these words, And I didn't just come up with this passage this week. I was planning to teach this passage like from a couple of months ago. It was scheduled for today. And here we are 2,000 years after Jesus says this, and salt and light are still exactly what our community needs when life gets hard. Let Jesus speak to you this morning through this text, his followers in 2026 in Brentwood, Tennessee. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. don't let your salt lose its saltiness. Don't put your light under a basket. He's saying the kind of difference my life is meant to make in the world is gonna be through you. Tangible enough to be tasted like salt and bright enough to be seen like light. Now, I wanna try to make this as tangible and practical and personal as I possibly can, because these are just like big ideas, salt, light, metaphors, you gotta connect to them, they're big ideas, but let me get personal. And so idea number one is living his way of life means making Jesus tangible in our world. Number two is living his way of life means letting Jesus live his life through you right where you are. I want to show you a story of someone, a young lady in our body, used to be on our staff, Lauren Brookshire, and how she let Jesus live his life through her right where she was, which in her case was a relationship with her sister. I want to encourage you to watch this video. Let's go ahead and play it.
My sister and I grew up in a very typical Southern Louisiana Catholic tradition. We always knew that there was a God, but that was probably about it. After my freshman year at LSU, I realized that I wasn't fulfilled. I was making decisions that I wasn't necessarily proud of, but I really didn't know what to do about them. My mom actually was invited to a church. It wasn't a Catholic church. And so I went to church with her, and I remember sitting in the pew and hearing about a relationship with Jesus. I woke up one day and I just remember saying, I want to give it all to you, Jesus. I don't have anything else. What I do have, I want to give to you. My mom ends up getting saved as well, which was really special for us to bond over that. And then I end up going on to a career of ministry. And so I got connected to fellowship. And so I accepted this job and moved out here. And all the while, really just wondering and praying, what would it look like for my family to come to know Jesus? Fast forward for the next couple of years, my sister and I have always been really close, and she was probably the one person that always came to mind in scenarios and settings where people would say, who is that person in your life that you really want them to know Jesus?
So I would tell you that my faith journey truly starts in 2022. But prior to that, I certainly didn't understand that you could have a relationship with the Lord. And so without that, I definitely was looking at all the wrong places for fulfillment. I would probably call that season of life my rock bottom. Honestly, out of pure desperation, I started to pray for a change. I actually got connected with a coworker who lived states away. And in that relationship, we realized quickly that we shared a lot of similarities, a lot of the same journey. And one day we ended up talking about faith. And so I had a Bible and so did she. And we truly were sharing the experience where we opened up on page one and started with Genesis 1. And we really had no idea what we were doing. And so at that point I was sharing with her about my sister and a little bit of her walk of what I knew and that she worked at a church. It was then that Lauren shared that fellowship had developed a new resource called Come and See.
So now I have this resource, Come and See, and I found out that my sister is actually very interested in it. And so I am so excited. We talk more, and it turns out that she actually has a friend who may be interested as well.
This was the first time that I had ever read about Jesus's life and his ministry. And I remember feeling emotional and just, I felt really close to him. On week 3, day 2, I wrote, I feel led to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Had I not done this and had all of my questions answered and had a full understanding of what it looked like to be saved, I would not have been prepared to answer the questions that my dad asked me weeks later, visiting him. We tuned into a fellowship service, and it was after that that my dad kind of paused it and said, what does it mean to be a believer? And had I not done this, I wouldn't have been able to answer exactly what that means. And that conversation turned into me explaining that everything changed for me by doing Come and See. And so if you want somewhere to start, it would be great to go to the Book of John. And he was like, sign me up.
To fast forward, we finished leading our dad and his wife through this as well. And it truly is just making its way around our family. And we're excited to maybe get to do it with some other family members at some point as well too.
And as close as we've always been, it's also transformed our relationship because now I understand, as Lauren was saying, like why her life looks a certain way and how she leads her life. And I've always looked up to that, but not fully had an understanding. But now we are fully aligned more than ever. And she's just always been an example how the Lord has just moved in her life. And now I get to understand that and hopefully do the same.
Yeah, such a good story. And by the way, connect back, the resource page that I shared with you earlier has that resource on it and a lot of others as well. What I love about that story, among many things, is Lauren looked around and she just said, who has God put in my life? Her sister. Just start with who God has put in your life. Be salt and light to the people where you already are. Now, I want to, Joe, if you could put the two main points back up on the screen one more time. And so what I want to do is we puzzle around this idea of what does it mean to live like Jesus, to live Jesus's way of life. I kind of want to turn the question upside down a little bit. Maybe the question isn't, can I live like Jesus? The better question is, am I willing to let Jesus live through me? And so this is where I had a whole nother point in my sermon and a whole nother text in my sermon to go to. And then I threw that all out the window when I had a conversation after the first service. Because a lady in our body came to me and she told me a story of her last week. And I said, is there any way you'd be willing to share this story with your church? And she said she would. So I want to ask Maggie if you'd come on up. Maggie Tucker, come on up. And give her a little encouragement as she comes because... Would you grab me that mic? All right, thanks, Josh. Okay, I really put Maggie on the spot. Now, I told her she didn't have to do this, and her response, pull these up close, her response was something like, well, I think God wants me to do this. So, Maggie, thank you. First of all, thank you for being here.
Is it on?
We'll get it on.
Okay.
Let's make sure. It is on, so we'll get the sound flowing here in a minute.
Okay,
cool. Okay, say something else so we can get it. Yep.
That's, Spirit, give me the words.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so I've never done anything like this. This is kind of a Lloyd thing. Just to be like, we're going to do something different. And I literally like scratched out the whole second half of my message because when I taught it and then she told me her story, I was like, she needs to say this instead. So thank you. Thank you for following the Spirit. I'm just going to, we obviously didn't rehearse this at all, so I don't know what I'm going to ask you. And I don't know exactly what you're going to say, but I do want to start by just saying, will you tell them what you told me when you came down?
Well, I walked up and I started sobbing and I said, Rob, I need prayer. And he was like, and I was mumbling and he was like, I can't understand you. What are you saying? And I'm like, I just need prayer. We've been helping feed linemen for the last 2 days and word has gotten around and my Venmo has gotten shared and we've raised over $10,000 and I don't know what to do with this money now. I know God has entrusted it to me because I'm his faithful servant and I have been praying all week and just surrendering every fear and worry at his feet. And now I have this and I'm completely overwhelmed and completely humbled and I need prayer over this money to just guide me and help me steward this for his glory. And Amen. So that however it's used, others will see and feel the love of Jesus that I know.
Okay, let me back you up for a minute. Okay, when she says lineman, I know not everybody in the room knows what she's talking about. NFL fans think she's talking about something very different. What are linemen?
They are the heroes, the angels that are all over our streets right now, restoring power at all hours of the day, in all conditions, and they need to be seen and loved and known. Like know that this community is with them.
Okay, very good. So you, How did this come about? Like, you're just sitting around your house and you're like, lineman.
No. So my prayer earlier in the week, we were without power, was just that the Lord would sustain me. I know I wasn't showing up well in my marriage and for my kids. And every day I was like, Lord, please sustain me. I was doing my, I didn't have my Bible or my come, listen, respond the day we left for the hotel. So the next day, Will, my husband, went back. We got that. And I was like, I got to like have this. And like, Lord, just, I need to be with you. And so each day I would come to the Lord with what's on my heart. And then I would read the scripture and it was directly related to what I had given to the Lord and put at his feet. And so long story short, we got power, we lost it. I have a friend whose husband is a lineman. I sent her a text and I was like, my whole neighborhood just lost power. And we've got a friend with a family member on hospice and I got a friend that's a 100-year-old World War II veteran. Is there anything your husband can do to get us power back? That night, our power was restored. And the next day, the neighborhood next door got power as well, where my friend Stoby lives. Mm. He's the veteran. Also, I sent them breakfast that morning because I felt the Lord nudging my heart. I have power now. I need to go love my neighbors is what I put in the verse and the come, listen, respond. For me, I was off by a day, was love your neighbor as thyself. And I was like, all right, I'm going to deliver food to that lineman's family's house and just tell them thank you. And I thought the Lord was done. No. Food arrived. She texted me, thank you so much. He's coming home from work right now. This is a game changer for our family. An hour later, she texted me and let me know that his crew's cars, the crew members that had come to our house at midnight, had all been broken into and their windows had been smashed. And I was like, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And in that moment, I was like, Lord, you have called me today to love my neighbors. The best thing we can do is just get out there in your name. And so we went to Chick-fil-A, got 50 sandwiches, and just started handing them out to crews that we saw working.
And I'm going to break in because I think this is what you sent me pictures of.
Yeah.
Let's put those on the screen. So just walk us through these. We'll kind of like just go
through
them.
My daughter Molly and I are on Forest Acres right here. We were also like, finding crews is hard. We were praying like literally, Lord, lead us to crews. Lord, help us find the way. And the way the Lord was taking us to people who needed to be seen was so powerful. So this crew was on Forest Acres. There were so many guys working and there were guys coming in and guys leaving. And we had like a delivery basically going. We opened the back end of Will's car and trucks were going in and out. And Molly was handing me sandwiches. I was handing it to them.
She's cute.
And it was so powerful. It was really powerful. We also ran into a crew the day before on Ashland Drive, which is like up in like towards Green Hills. And this crew was just rolling up and there were probably like 3 or 4 trucks and they were like unloading their gear, like literally like they were about to go into battle. And I pulled up and I've got my Chick-fil-A and I'm like, y'all want some sandwiches? And the gentleman that was leading the crew looked at me and he said, I wish my wife could see you doing this for us right now. Mm. There are so many people out there saying such mean things about us and it is breaking her heart. I'm working 18 hours a day. She's at home with our kids and she's seeing these messages come through and it's just breaking her heart. And I was like, this guy's about to think I'm so crazy, but I'm just gonna tell him the truth that I know. And the truth that I know is that the devil, his only weapon against us is to deceive. And I told him that. And I was like, these people are hurting and they're being deceived right now. This is the truth. You are here. Your crew is here. You are the helpers. And I just pray that the armor of God is on you and protects you. That street got power that night. And all of my friends that I didn't know lived on that street messaged me the next day. And they were like, we have chills. You ministered to those people. And it's just, that crew left such a mark on me. And then the next day to get those messages from my friends who were like, we live on that street.
Oh.
Like, thank you for that encouragement.
You are the salt of the earth. And I'm thinking about those sandwiches, which do have a little salt.
They do, a lot.
The tangible, visible presence of Jesus. You are the light of the world. Okay, so how did the Venmo stuff happen?
Okay, so what now happened? This has really spiraled.
Yeah, yeah, just go ahead and pick it up.
A few neighbors knew that we were going out to do this, and they were like, we'd love to send money. And I was like, no, like the Tuckers, like we got this. Like it's like $250 to get 50 sandwiches. Like we got this. And then I was like, Maggie, like people want to help. Why are you denying what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in their hearts to help? So I shared my Venmo. It got passed around and passed around and passed around. And then people through my, I've shared a lot of this story on my business's social media, and people found out about it that way. And so now we are with, we're at, not at $10,000 because I've already distributed that out. Other families have come forward. They have asked to help give out meals. So we've given out about $1,200 to other families so that they could experience what my family has been experiencing and like just witness God for in a whole nother way.
Love it.
But we've got about $8,500 the last time I looked to just keep using and stewarding.
Okay.
And this is where I really need prayer.
Okay, yes. And we're going to pray for you in a minute. And what I told Maggie earlier is it's so interesting. Well, first of all, generosity is contagious. But second of all, God chooses people that just say yes. And then he says, I'm going to give you more to steward. And I was like, there's the parable of the talents, which is a whole nother text. I'm not going to teach it. But listen, he's putting money into your hands because he's trusting you to be salt and light to the world. So, and also if you're someone that would say, I want to be part of this somehow, like either helping the hands and feet of this or being a part of the contributions to it or whatever, I asked Maggie if she can hang around after service. So she's going to be right down here. We're also going to be walking with her. Our local outreach director, Jeff Geip, is going to sit with her and say, hey, how can we help you as you're stewarding this? But I love this. It's not fellowship's money. He's put it in your hands and he's asking you to steward it. Last thing I want you to share a little bit. I hope this is okay that I ask you about this. So Maggie shared this with me. She's not someone that was just sitting at home by her fireplace in her home twiddling her thumbs. They've had some real challenges in their home and in their business. Would you share a little bit more about what's going on with that?
God, this is what's really gonna get me.
It's okay. I've got some tissue in my pocket just for you.
And like, I know the Lord will sustain us and I know that he will provide because he has made that so abundantly clear. But my precious little retail store that I love with all my heart that I was able to open because an angel in my life gave me the money to open it 12 years ago. And it has done so much good. If you know Magpies, you know that our little store has done so much good. And like, God has been revealed year after year in so many ways through my little business. It's not even my business, it's literally his. But we're without power. And you know, the projections don't look great. I'm not even gonna like speak them into the world because I'm believing something totally different. But we're without power. And then across town, I have a warehouse where I house my inventory and it flooded. And we have, insurance is gonna come up tomorrow and we have no idea what that is all gonna look like. And I have no, like my employees like went in to a 35 degree store last week and like tried to like fulfill orders. And we're just, it's very uncertain. And I am trying to just not be crippled by the uncertainty and just be a good leader for my team. And it's just really hard right now.
Thank you for telling us that, because we want to pray for that too.
Thank you.
And I had to dig that out of Maggie earlier because that's just not what she came down to task me to pray about.
No, it's not. I believe that the Lord will sustain us, and I don't know what that will look like and in what timeline that will be, but I know that every day while we are waiting, there is certainty in him, and that certainty is that Elroy, I mean, he sees us.
Yes, amen. Let's bow our heads right now, church. We're going to pray for Maggie and what God has called her to steward. Lord, here is this person that 4 or 5 days ago had no concept of anything that was about to come and happen and what you would call her to do and be a part of. She was spending time with you and you said this and she did it. And so, Lord, because she's opened her hands, you have already demonstrated your generosity and your faithfulness, and I pray that that would continue. I pray that you'd give her wisdom and help to take the resources that have been given for this purpose, and that it would bless those men and their families that are out there working so hard in really difficult conditions to keep restoring power all around our community. I pray that whatever your purpose and plan for those funds, you would just go right there. And thank you for this woman who is being faithful and humble and stewarding this. And God, I pray for her needs, her business needs. God, we pray for Magpie. We pray for the opportunity that you have to show yourself as the God who sees. And I do ask, Lord, that you would continue through that business to do good works so that we might glorify our Father in heaven. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being brave enough to come up here. I want to encourage us to take out our communion elements. And before we dive right in and receive the communion together, I just want to make some connections to what we just heard and the text that we read earlier and this practice of communion that we're about to celebrate together. Jesus's plan all along was to bring true light and true life into the world so that that light and life would be multiplied. And he chose this little collection of disciples because they were the ones that the Father told him to choose. And he poured into them for 3 years. And then he gave his very life away on the cross and was resurrected. And before he ascended into heaven, he commissioned them. He says, now this light and this life is in you, and it is to be for the world. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we're celebrating, we're remembering, we're thanking, we're honoring God for the gift of life through Jesus Christ, true life, true light to the world. And isn't it interesting that Jesus in his wisdom knew that his church for thousands of years was going to need something tangible, something we could feel, something we could taste that would remind us that our hope is in the real, the true life himself who has come and given himself up for us. So anyone in this room who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, what this represents for you is far more than what it appears. He is life that is true life. He is light that is true light. And he now lives in you so he can live his life through you. And for anyone who has not yet received the gift of salvation, I pray that you'd, even in this moment, be able to put your faith in Christ, that the Spirit would nudge you to believe and that you would receive, that you would believe. Jesus loves you. He lived the life that you couldn't live, died the death you deserved, and was raised so you could walk in true life. And so this morning, here we are, something tangible in our hands, and I invite you to receive this, the body of Jesus Christ. Receive it with joy. In the same way with the cup, Jesus says, this is the new covenant, the new relationship that's in my blood, his blood that cleansed us from sin. And we now receive that gift, receive the cup with joy. Father, we give what we have to you because all that we have is yours. May we see the opportunity to love and serve those around us, not as a burden or a religious duty, but your life flowing through us. I want to thank you for Lauren Brookshire and Maggie Tucker, the way that you called them in unique and specific ways to let Jesus live his life through them. And I pray for us, Fellowship Bible Church, that we would become more and more a place where Jesus' life is seen, felt, touched, embodied. Not that we would shine as a church, but that you would shine through us, Jesus. That we would give glory to our Father who's in heaven. May this be the desire of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing one more song together.